Beloved, our second reading this morning comes from the book of Leviticus, reading in the 19th chapter. Listen for God's word to the church. You shall not strip your vineyard bare or gather the fallen grapes of your vineyard. You shall leave them for the poor and the alien. I am the Lord your God. You shall not steal. You shall not deal falsely, and you shall not lie to one another. And you shall not swear falsely by my name, profaning the name of your God. I am the Lord. You shall not defraud your neighbor. You shall not steal, and you shall not keep for yourself the wages of the laborer until morning. You shall not revile the deaf or put a stumbling block before the blind. You shall fear your God. I am the Lord. You shall not render an unjust judgment. You shall not be partial to the poor or defer to the great. With justice you shall judge your neighbor. You shall not go around as a slanderer among your people, and you shall not profit by the blood of your neighbor. I am the Lord. You shall not hate in your heart any one of your kin. You shall reprove your neighbor, or you will incur guilt yourself. You shall not take vengeance or bear a grudge against any one of your people, but you shall love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord. When an alien resides in your land, you shall not oppress the alien. The alien who resides with you shall be as the citizen among you. You shall love the alien as yourself, for you were aliens in the land of Egypt. I am the Lord your God. The word of the Lord. The School for Love initiative that our senior pastor Casey has been preaching focuses on the two greatest commandments that Jesus teaches us. They're derived from the Torah, or the first book of the Bible. And the first commandment states that we are to love the Lord our God with all our heart, mind, soul, and strength. On this World Communion Sunday, we begin with an overview of the second commandment by discerning what Jesus means when he asks those of us who follow him to love one another. When one hears the word love, the most common notion of its meaning for many people is that of romantic love. This type of love is celebrated on Valentine's Day, a holiday that centers on its expression through various media. Bouquets of flowers, poetry written in cards, or songs help a person to tell another that the sender is completely smitten and in love with the recipient. If one were to dedicate a song to a romantic interest or a significant other, what song might you choose? Now, if you're a country fan, perhaps a song by Alabama that says, "I am guilty of love in the first degree." That song wouldn't work if you're trying to sing to your loved one because you need other people to join in the harmony. Perhaps something by Luther Vandross. He sang such beautiful songs. One of them was a love song that said, so amazing to be loved. I'd follow you to the moon and the stars above. Ah, that gets my heart. But Luther's hits also require other voices to harmonize. As a last resort, I'm going to ask our Minister for Music, Tim Evers, for some help. And I'll also ask you to sing along with me on this one. This is a song that has had two popular versions. The most recent was revived by UB40. However, I will ask that you sing in the manner of the wild young man with the provocative swinging hips and blue suede shoes. Yes, none other than Elvis Presley. So please join me in singing one verse of "Can't Help Falling in Love." this congregation. Amen. Thank you for that. Now, such songs speak to the joy and challenges of romantic love. And yet others have been penned about agape love, the love that one has for one's neighbors and friends. One of my favorite in this category is one that was written and sung by Bob Marley, One Love. Do you remember that one? One love. Okay, we're not going to sing that. But the lyrics invite everyone to unite, to give thanks and praise to God, and to take care of those who are less fortunate than ourselves. The promise of everything being all right after we have done God's will rounds off the chorus and is repeated until the song fades. Hymnody and praise music highlight the gift of God's love, the love that came down into the world through Jesus, and the love that Christians are called to live out in Christ's name. The idea of loving one's neighbors was not a new one for the people Israel. In the Torah, or the Hebrew Bible, Leviticus 19:18 speaks about the mitzvah, or the commandment, to love one's neighbor. However, this morning's Bible reading leads us to also explore the rich meaning of Jesus' words. Jesus had become quite famous in his day. He was known as Mary and Joseph the carpenter's son, and that his hometown was Nazareth. The profound and exquisite sermons that he delivered and his ability to read and interpret the scripture earned him quite a following. Biblical historians also tell us that if one was seen in the presence of great scholars or rabbis, one's reputation would rise in the esteem of others who were seeking wisdom. Jesus also had the power to perform miracles, and many people were witnessed to that and attested to the fact. His reputation preceded him everywhere that he and the disciples went as they moved from town to town during his earthly ministry. The gospel reading takes us to the night when Jesus was betrayed. Judas had slipped out of the room in which Jesus and the 12 had gathered for the evening meal. When his betrayer had gone, the Lord spoke to the other disciples. He explained to his friends that God and the Son of Man would be glorified because Jesus had completed his earthly ministry. Jesus' love for the world would be professed and passed down from generation to generation. More than 2,000 years after Christ had lived among us, believers would still be reciting the first part of the first chapter of John. The words are familiar to us. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him, and without him not one thing came into being. What has come into being in him was life, and the life was the light of all people. Jesus had shown his love for his disciples and the people with whom he encountered and spent time. He showed no partiality in speaking to and touching those who were sick, like the lepers, or those who would make him ritually unclean, like the woman who bled for 12 years, or the Syrophoenician woman, a foreigner, with whom he had conversation. He forgave the sins of many, and Jesus instructed people on how to interpret the scripture and how they were to live their lives and abide by God's will. Love of God and loving one's neighbors were the measure by which the law and all the other commandments would be exercised. His life's work, his death and resurrection, would demonstrate the dominion of God over all things. Through all these things, the glory would belong to the Father and to the Son. Even as he said these things to his disciples, Jesus was keenly aware of the troubled times that his followers would face immediately after his death. He issued a plea to his disciples to love one another, just as he loved the world. He knew they were going to experience great anguish and persecution after he left this world. Christians are called to love one another. And yet, what would it look like if we really loved one another within our community of believers? We would show care and concern for each other and check in periodically to see if all was well. Sometimes people think that a phone call is an intrusion on someone's privacy, but my hope is that such a call would not be experienced as such, but rather be seen as a demonstration of Christian love. This congregation is wonderful at sending cards, and several members receive birthday greetings and well wishes during their convalescence sent by the deacons on your behalf. And you also sign letters for those who are bereaved or letters of encouragement that you find in the connector. Loving one another also means being patient with one another and not rushing to judgment. When we do not bother to find out the whole story behind someone's actions, when we prejudge them or criticize them without offering to help, we wound each other. We are called to build up the body of Christ, to encourage and pray for each other, and to call forth and nurture the spiritual gifts that each person in this church has received. Jesus' new commandment has a second component that we can discern. He said to his disciples, "Just as I have loved you, you also should love one another." Jesus loved everyone, the whole world, and you and I are called to do the same. Loving people from every place in the world means showing genuine love and not just paying lip service to the idea of being a welcoming community. It means that we're to be friendly and open to others who are different than we are, not to be angry or scared when they do not speak the same language that we do. We can't simply justify ourselves with self-righteousness by asking one another, if we were to go to their country, would they speak English or would they expect us to speak their language? We are called to live differently in this world. We are called to love and accept everyone. But how are you to communicate if we don't speak the same language? God invented something called a smile, extending a hand in greeting. The same is said about loving those whose religions are different than our own. It's not always easy to resist the temptation to lump people from a particular religion into one category just because of the actions of a few fanatics. We can't write off the whole lot of them because of a few radicalized individuals. If that were so, can you imagine what people would do to us? Because we also have a history of having the Crusades in our religion. So where else can we unmask idolatries by shining God's light and love in the world? The Holiness Code of Leviticus teaches us our responsibility as people of God to include the alien in our land. How do we treat those who are less fortunate than ourselves? The law says that we're to leave some fruit on the trees so that the poor may pick them and eat. What about finding another passion? We hear about the housing crisis all the time, so would you be willing to fight for housing equality, to make sure that lending practices are equal across the board and not subject to ethnicity or the neighborhoods in which we live? How else might we express our love for each other? What happens here in our home church? Do we notice a pattern in which the same people are always doing the majority of the work? We love our siblings in Christ, and so perhaps it's time for us to volunteer in a new way. One does not have to be an officer of the church to work here, to do Christ's work and come alongside with the committees. Even though you've elected people to represent you as elders and deacons, we can still join them in the work that they do. We can serve the Lord in the new way. I heard your voices, so I'm going to invite all of you to sing in the choir. I mean, okay, maybe our minister of music will be a little shocked if we all showed up in the chancel, but your voices are lovely, and I thank you for that. Perhaps it's writing letters to people who are in prison. Whatever it is, we are called to serve God in a way that will help to engage people in the life of this church. The wonderful thing about Christ's love is that we are redeemed through it. We believe in a God of second chances, a God who gives us a do-over when we have messed up. We are called to demonstrate this same kind of love to each other. Beloved, the grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of the Lord endures forever.